San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 6th, 2025. Today's lesson is Ebony and Ivory with Reverend Mark Obkamp.
Good morning, and welcome to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Welcome home. As I begin this morning's lesson, let us anchor ourselves in the truth that there is one power, one presence, and one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call that power God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And we anchor ourselves in this truth every Sunday, because we truly believe in the infinite and awesome power behind that which has created each and every one of us and all that is. It is that power that has given us life and form, given us the power to create and be a part of all that is, all that has been, and all that ever will be. Really, it's as simple as that. And yet, how simple is it really? So then, why is it that so often, instead of realizing that we are creative beyond measure, we find ourselves struggling or limited or facing lack and limitation? Because we believe that everything in life is a struggle, that we simply can't do that, that that is beyond our reach, that we are not deserving of, and the list goes on and on. And I think we all know where that list goes, because we've all used it at least once or twice. Dr. Michael Beckwith told us that we live in a universe in which there are laws, just as there is a law of gravity. If you fall off a building, it doesn't matter if you're a good person or a bad person, you're going to hit the ground. Sounds pretty simple to me, but let's face it. How many of us really want to jump off a tall building and hit the ground split splat? You? You? Me? I don't think so. So at this point, I would like to remind us of one of our science of mind catchphrases. What we think about, we bring about. Now, I'm not saying that every single thought we have, either positive or negative, is going to bring about a reaction. But I am saying that thoughts are things, and if we give enough power to anything, it is going to manifest into anything that we are giving it the power to create. Ernest Holmes, creator of the Science of Mind philosophy and author of the Science of Mind textbook, states it this way on pages 119 and 120. Of the Science of Mind textbook. The encouraging message in all of this is no matter what may be in the subjective state of our thought, the conscious state can change it. This is what treatment does. How can this be done? Through the most direct method imaginable, by consciously knowing that there is no inherited tendency toward limitation, no race suggestion operating through subjectivity, nothing in, around, on, through us that believes in or accepts limitation in any way, shape, manner, or form. As an aside here, before I go on with this quote, I want to give a definition of subjective, which is beneath the threshold of consciousness. The inner side, subconscious. And then he goes on to label subjective state of thought as the sum total of all one's thinking, both conscious and unconscious. Please keep these definitions in mind as we move forward today. Holmes goes on to say that we do not stop here. This is only half the treatment. The conscious state must now provide a higher contemplation, a spiritual realization which says, I partake of the nature and bounty of all good, and I am now surrounded by everything which makes life worthwhile. The universal medium at once changes its thought, because its thought is deductive only, and says, "Yes, I am all these things in you," and immediately begins the work of bringing such conditions to pass, whatever it is, held in consciousness until it becomes part of the subjective, then tends to take a place in the world of affairs. In other words, what we think about, we bring about. We're going to manifest what that thought is. The reason that we do not demonstrate more easily is that the subjective state of our thought is too often neutralized by the objective state, objective being that which is external to the mind, the conscious mind, which can be affected by outer influence, even though this is often an unconscious process of thought. So, have I lost anyone yet? Okay. If I have, I can start over. Anyway, this is a pretty verbose way of saying that no matter what we hold in our subconscious mind, and that could be a compilation of what others have said to us, thus their opinion of us and not our true opinion of ourselves. For human consciousness, what is generally accepted by mostly one group or another, about one group or another, being held in our subconscious, whether we think about it or not. But we can change it as we become aware of our process of holding on to it, and then releasing. The release comes within our conscious mind and how we recognize what this thing is, and then realize if this is how we really feel about it. How it will then manifest for us is based on a combination of our core beliefs and our faith in those beliefs. And so negative thoughts and beliefs are going to bring negativity our way, while knowing the good in everything is going to produce more good. Rhonda Byrne tells us that it is impossible to feel good and at the same time be having negative thoughts. If you are feeling good, it is because you are thinking good thoughts. You see, you can have whatever you want in your life. No limits. But there's one catch. You have to feel good. And when you think about it, isn't that all you ever want? The law is indeed perfect. That seems pretty darn simple, doesn't it? So, what's the secret? Well, and that was an inside joke for those of you who know what that was. Okay, so what's the secret? Well, we really do need to remember a few simple things. Dr. Joe Vitale tells us everything that surrounds you right now in your life, including the things you're complaining about, you've attracted. So does that mean we should suppress what we are viewing as negative and or pretend that things don't exist? Or should we look deeper within and have a good heart-to-heart with ourselves and our Creator? It can be as simple as starting by asking ourselves, why am I feeling so sad, inadequate, less than, whatever happens to be a negative for you at that moment? And the good thing is that you don't even have to wait to hear or become aware of the answers. We don't even need to remember that there is good or God in every situation. What I would suggest remembering, though, is exactly who you are. You are a beloved child of a loving Creator, and you simply are love personified. Yes, you have been given the power of the universe to create, and it creates with you, and always says yes. So if things look less than perfect to you right now, then look at why your belief system is painting anything as less than perfect. And look for the good. Because believe me, whatever is going on, there is good in it somewhere. Maybe there is a lesson to be learned here. Maybe this did not require a shortcut, and the long way around would have been a more feasible solution. Maybe the universe is just saying, slow down a little. Remember, good in God can be found in every situation. So far this morning, I've been talking a lot about the sacred law of attraction, but there are a few others that I would like to highlight this morning here as well. Many of these laws are interactive. In metaphysics, the laws of nature or universal principles often refer to fundamental rules or principles that govern the universe and its workings beyond the scope of scientific observation and experimentation, and are often explored in a philosophical realm. Along with the law of attraction, these laws include the laws of cause and effect, action, inspired action, correspondence, divine oneness, vibration, polarity, compensation, relativity, and perpetual transmutation of energy. Don't think that isn't a mouthful. So, what do you think all of these principles have in common? Well, there are actually several commonalities that make them part of the golden thread that Dr. Connie has spoken about in the past. Those elements tend to bind all philosophies together, kind of like the ebony and ivory keys on a piano keyboard, kind of how they can work together both individually and collectively. So let's look at the law of cause and effect for a moment. Does anyone have an idea about the differences between the law of attraction and the laws of cause and effect? Well, the law of attraction indicates that our thoughts are things, and that our thoughts and feelings create our reality. In other words, the energy that you put into the world returns to you. It suggests that by focusing on positive thoughts and desires, you attract positive experiences and outcomes. The underlying principle is that like attracts like, meaning that positive vibes attract positive experience, and that negative vibes attract negative experiences. The law of attraction is often associated with the concept of manifestation, where individuals believe that they can create their desired realities through focused thoughts and actions. However, it is important to realize that the law of attraction only manifests to the extent of our beliefs, and it is still important to take action and make conscious choices. So how is the law of cause and effect different? The law of cause and effect supports the idea that every event or state of affairs has a preceding cause, and every cause produces an effect. Does this sound a bit familiar? Might there be a necessary connection between the two? The law of cause and effect suggests that nothing happens randomly or without a reason. Everything has a preceding cause and inevitably leads to an effect. So as Dr. Beckwith mentioned earlier, if one jumps off a building, they're going to fall to the ground, or at least a lower surface. So in metaphysics, we explain causality, or the relationship between cause and effect, as a fundamental property of reality. But whose reality? Is it mere human interpretation or a metaphysic law? In other words, a seed planted, cause, will grow into a plant, effect. And how about the person who studies hard, cause, getting good grades, effect? Now ponder this for a moment. A stone thrown upwards, cause, will fall downwards, effect. But where will it end up? Will it hit the ground? Will it land in a bird's nest? Will it land on top of somebody's head? There are variances that might be encountered. Interestingly enough, Aristotle believed in a world governed by law, not chance, where every effect has a specific cause. I'm sure that we have all heard the saying that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And David Hume argued that our belief in cause and effect is based on habit and experience rather than a logical necessity. So what do you all think? Is karma cause and effect? Or is it attraction? Well, if one believes in karma, then they would probably believe that actions have consequences, either positive or negative. Perhaps or perhaps not. It is really all within the extent of our belief. The law of cause and effect can be viewed as the spiritual equivalent of Sir Isaac Newton's law of action and reaction, which states that for every action, there is an equal and positive reaction. It is believed by metaphysicians that every single action in the universe is going to produce a reaction, no matter what. Every single effect within this, our world, has an original starting point. All paths, including our own, have an original first step, and from that first step comes a chain reaction of events with further offshoots spanning out in all directions, and then duplication and replication take place. All of our thoughts and human behavior and all our movements affect the entire universe according to the laws of cause and effect. Every single item within the universe is relative, and nothing is separate. So let us contemplate this for a moment. If I move my hand, I am moving this space which surrounds it. And that space is connected to all space within the infinite universe and beyond. So then all inanimate objects of the universe are all connected within the same space and occupy that exact same space or mind. There is no separation, and so if one moves their hand, they are moving a space that is connected to all things, like the keys on a piano. So how simple is it? Well, it's pretty much as simple as that. There is only one. Only one. There are not 15 or 20 or 25. There is only one. And I realize this may take a lot of getting used to, but what about this, or that, or this? It is all part of the one that is. Everything that exists within the universe has always existed in one form or another. Or, in other words, perhaps a little more scientific, it has always existed in its chemical or microscopic form. And all things have arisen from this. In science of mind, we like to refer to this as one mind or first cause. Human thought creates a movement no matter how small it may be, unless you are deliberately staying still. But even then, movement will follow. And what about body twitches or cramps or involuntary movement? All movement is created by a thought. So can we ever be completely still? All thoughts lead to movements. And human behavior says that all movement and behavior lead to further thoughts. A movement or an action cannot take place without its original thought. Any movement is the result of thought. So, what happens if your finger just kind of twitches? Somewhere within there was a thought. Because somewhere within the brain, it was sending a message to your finger to twitch. We are all motivated by a chain reaction of events from a cause. Once a movement or behavior is set off into the world, it will have a continuing ripple, and it will keep traveling and continue far beyond the awareness and understanding of the one who put it into motion. It is all about the sum of its parts adding to the one. Again, there is only one. In metaphysics, we also believe that every ripple created and transferred outward will have to return back to its source, i.e., you or the human that created it. There is nothing that happens by random chance, nothing whatsoever. All output or actions have consequences, and these consequences are either good or not so good, and may cause positive or negative influence or effect on yourself or others. Or to put it bluntly, you shall reap what you sow. But let me remind you here that we can only reap and sow to the extent of our belief. So if we are feeling that our life is in a tough spot and we can't figure out why, we need to rethink, regather, go back and try to figure out what has caused the effect. On the other hand, if everything is going great at the moment, we are probably already doing the deeper work. All human thought, which leads to words and expressions, and consequently behavior unto others, creates this energy. We must realize that most of this energy and effects that are created by cause take place in the unseen, and manifestation is a result of the unseen becoming known. In many of the Eastern philosophies, such as Hinduism and Buddhism, it is believed that as the originator that generated or sent out the action into the universe, you shall receive its consequences or its effects in one form or another, and that you will never be able to hide from the effects of your actions. However, it is specifically the intent. Remember, thoughts are things. Behind the action, that should be of the greatest concern. I'm not saying that if accidentally you inadvertently cause an action which leads to another suffering or harm, it will not be as consequential to you as it would be if you had deliberately made the same action for revenge or self-satisfaction. But what is your belief around the cause of your action? Therein lies what you're going to receive back. I'm not saying that all causes do not have effects on everything and anything within the universe and won't further lead to the cause of other things and the replication or chain reactions. This continues infinitely. We can't stop it. It's the law. And it ain't the law from, you know, the police station up the street. It's the universal law. We must realize that according to this law, there is no such thing as luck. There is only action returning to its cause as an effect. As Ernest Holm puts it on page 78, paragraph 2 in the Science of Mind textbook, the ancients taught that there is an infinite self-knowing spirit. One of the oldest sayings in the world is spirit is the power that knows itself. In addition to which there is an indefinite law which knows how to do but does not care what it does. This is the karmic law of Buddha, the law that binds the ignorant and frees the wise. I feel kind of wise at the moment. As Anna Besant stated it, it is the cause and effect of the West, but it is not confused with kismet, which is fate, because its tendency can be changed. And Marcy Shimoff stated that if you're feeling good, then you're creating a future that's on track with your desires. As you go about your day, the law of attraction is working in every second. Everything we think and feel is creating our future. If you're worried or in fear, then you're bringing more of that into your life throughout the day. So, to be honest, between you, me, and the fence post, if I notice something somewhat off balance in my life, I go back, realize that the imbalance is effect, not the cause, and I ask myself, so how did I create this effect? Ernest Holmes tells us that to believe in a just law of cause and effect, carrying with it a punishment or reward, is to believe in righteousness. Thus, some of the reason for the confusion in some of the biblical passages, I think. And so really, in this life, we need to remember a few simple things. Everything is part of the One. And we have all been created equally. So in this life, we must always do our best to generate good. We must practice simple acts of kindness by our words, our deeds, and our actions. We must plant the seeds of kindness everywhere and at all times. If we plant kindness, we will create abundant harvests and sow further good for the future. Because frankly, the future is being created now, and we are the ones who get to begin creating harmony and balance for the generations to come. I know that though we may come from different backgrounds and beliefs, that we have far more in common and want peace for everyone. I thank you for your time and attention this morning. May peace be with you. Namaste.